Today's reading is Matthew 26, 1 to 13. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the place of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way and kill him, but not during the feast, they said, or there may be a riot among the people. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste, they asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured the perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her."
Blessed be the name of the Lord, as the song we are singing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It can be a way of greeting. So I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to look at today. Today is a day when it's called Palm Sunday. And today is the day when Jesus walked into Jerusalem according to the Christian calendar. It's the end of Lent and the beginning of the Holy Week. So this is the time he went into Jerusalem on a donkey. He didn't go riding on a horse. He went on a donkey, which symbolizes humility and meekness. He was so humble. They expected a king to come riding on a horse, I guess. But he came on a donkey, humble and meek. A large crowd gathered to welcome him as he triumphantly entered Jerusalem, singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," they shouted. These were all Jews that had gathered to celebrate their Passover. So there were so many people in Jerusalem when he was coming in. They lay their coats on the ground. They lay palm trees to welcome him to such a big event, entering Jerusalem. But the same people who are shouting "Hosanna, Hosanna" are the same people who will be shouting "Crucify him" in a week's time, in a few days' time, on Easter. So this week is a special week. It's a holy week. So let's remember to reflect as we remember what Jesus did for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you because you're going to do what you want to do through us. Holy Spirit, we say, come and speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. According to the text that Julie has read for us, we see a woman who entered a room where the disciples and many men were sitting. And this is where Jesus was going to have dinner with Simon the leper. So Simon the leper was a man who had recovered from leprosy. I believe we all know leprosy was a sickness and disease that, you know, people would not come near you. You were isolated and put away. But this time we see Jesus sitting down on the table, reclining at the table with this man. He did something that was out of the ordinary. So a woman comes in the room and pours perfume on his head. Very expensive perfume. This perfume, they say, is grown on the rivers of Ganges. Is it Ganges? In the rivers of India? So it's a very expensive perfume that he poured on Jesus' head. They didn't know, she didn't know that Jesus was going to die. But she poured this perfume on her as a way of blessing him. She didn't know. I believe this was her week's her savings, but she chose to bless Jesus. Little is known about this woman in Matthew 26:6-13. But what we see in this woman is that she was grateful, she was humble, she was obedient. She was generous and a woman of faith. She expressed her love and gratitude for what God had done for her. Only her knew what God had done for her, for her to be able to take this step. The Gospel of Matthew and Mark call this woman, this lady, a woman. But the Gospel of Luke calls her a sinner, a sinful woman. John calls her Mary, the sister of Lazarus. We're going to look at this woman, to look at what Matthew calls her, a woman. Jesus is about to be betrayed in a few days' time, so she takes a bold and fearless step to go where Jesus was. This was a room full of people, probably men, so she poured this expensive perfume that was worth a year's wage. She could have saved this money for the future. The time of Jesus on earth was very short, so we see a prophetic act of love, sacrifice, gratefulness. She didn't care the cost of the perfume, or think how it would be useful for a rainy day. If it was today, we would be thinking of saving it for our pension. But she brought it out and poured it on Jesus' head. And what happened? The disciples said it was such a waste. They saw this, they were not happy. They thought it was such a waste and thought they could have sold the perfume for a lot of money. And the money would have been given to the poor. They could not understand the act of this woman because it was her personal experience that caused her to act the way she did. She became the topic that night and also gained a lot of recognition just because of that thought she got into her. Through the thought that she got, she became famous and got a lot of recognition. One would have expected the disciples to have been the ones to bless Jesus at this time because they knew he had spoken to them so many times about what was coming up. But we see a woman who was a stranger to the people in the room honoring Jesus. The pity of the disciples was to cover their lack of spiritual perception. It's not that they were so considerate about the cost. I believe it's because his coming death was not in their minds at that time. They thought it was business as usual. Some people may think it's a waste of time to come to church and worship. They say, if I'm doing good to people and I do not do anything wrong, then I'm okay. I don't see the need to be in church. But actually, we are called to worship together. We are called to worship together. And together, when we worship, we see God coming down. and it pleases God. Because that's exactly what Jesus, we'll see Jesus. He was happy with the action of this woman. So shouldn't we all be grateful for what he has done for us? Real worship comes from a humble heart that has been purified by the fire. By fire. It rises from a spirit that has chosen to honor God in spite of pain that life has caused. There are those times when God does not appear the way we thought he would. The medical report comes out positive. There is loss of loved ones in the family. There's lack of finances. A child goes wayward. Worshiping God is the last thing on your mind when things are going wrong. God can still be trusted in those difficult times. God can still be worshipped. Even when the enemy plans evil against us, God turns it for our good, for his glory. Even in the valley, he is faithful. I do not know what you have been through, what you're going through. Just worship him with your best, like this woman did, and take him for his word. His word is yea and amen. What he says he will do, he will always do. He is faithful. So what happens when the Spirit of the Lord comes down? Let's look at David in 2 Samuel 6. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, he danced and sang before the Ark of the Covenant. He danced naked, that's what the scripture says. But this, it doesn't mean that he was really naked, completely naked. He removed all his kingly garments, that's what it means. And was acting like one of the servants instead of a king. His wife Micah despised him because to her he acted undignified. He didn't act like a king at all. Because kings have a certain way. The royals have a certain way of behaving. And they have a standard of how they have to present themselves before people. But this man throws away everything. He's a king. And he acts like his workers, his servants. David's focus was God, not himself. Sometimes we have to take off our minds off ourselves if we want to worship God. But his wife, David's focus was God and not himself. But for the wife, it was about her and not God. That was the way she thought. Her father Saul was a king and she was a princess. So in all her upbringing, the royals have to behave in a certain way. So David danced. David jumped. David went on the floor. And it was a time when he saw the Ark of the Lord coming. He remembered what God had done for him. He took him from the pastures, from the sheep, the God who had been with him and protected him from the bears, the lions, when he was a shepherd. He protected him from his enemies, Saul, when Saul was persecuting him, and made him king over Israel. So the same God who was with him in those difficult times, he was with him as king. As the king of Israel. When was the last time you danced for the Lord? Has he done anything for you that you could look back and worship him like crazy. Like crazy, forgetting who is next to you, forgetting what's happening around you. But because of your personal experience, you worship him. Because you know, you and I know what life has thrown at us. And we have seen God taking us through that. Worship is a way of life. The method for our worship must be in spirit and in truth. We don't need to be great singers, have great instruments, but we need to be in a personal relationship with him and live with the truth of his greatness, reflecting through all we are becoming and all we do. Worship is a movement of our hearts. Our hearts move. We are saying, Lord, we love you. We are saying, Lord, you've been great. To practice extravagant worship, you will need to get a good saying, I lay down my life. I forget all about myself, and I'm here to worship you, Lord. True worshippers do not count the cost. How much petrol it's taking you to drive here, how much of time I could be using. True worshippers don't count that. True worshippers will not worry about how much they put in the offering basket. Psalm 13:5-6 says, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. This is the same person, David, who is the psalm writer. You could see the relationship that he had with God. Jesus knows what is best for us. He was aware of what they were thinking about at that time, the disciples, and say to them, why are you bothering this woman? The poor you will always have, but you will not always have me. As it says, Deuteronomy 15:11, we see Moses giving the Israelites the last instructions before they entered into the promised land. He said to them that the poor you will already... let me read it actually to get it right. That is 15:11. For the poor will never cease out of the land. Therefore, I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy, and to the poor in the land. So Jesus did not mean the poor should not be cared for. But it was not the time for them to think about the poor. It was time to reflect on his coming death. So he's the only one who understood what the woman was doing. Jesus goes on to say that she poured this perfume on me to prepare me for my burial. Jesus here is on his way to Jerusalem, which was his final destination before death. The act of this woman, according to Jesus, was going to be told wherever the gospel was to be preached, in memory of her. Indeed, we are talking about her today because of that one bold act. If she had sold the alabaster jar without meeting Jesus, she would have remained a sinner and died forgotten. There is nothing you can do for Jesus. That's too much. He has a way of rewarding you manifold. Nothing is too costly for him. No time sacrificed for him is wasted. Our physical possessions, including our money, are nothing compared to him. Our prayers and adoration for him are not even to be compared to the love he has showered and will continue to shower till eternity. Have you been extravagant? And bought someone a gift that was very expensive? What led you to do that? What was the purpose? When you love and worship, you look and act like that thing, like that person you worship. Every one of us has something to give. We cannot say we don't have anything to offer to the work of God in our community. It could be just praying for the church, helping where there is need, listening to what God is saying to the church. You could serve in the prophetic and give your finances and in any way you can. So we need people to speak out. We need people to listen to what God is saying and come and say, this is where God is taking us. This is what God is saying to us. We need people who have a listening ear to hear what God is saying to the church. It's part of the giving as well. It's part of the worshiping. So we see the plot to kill Jesus at the beginning of the chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, as you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. At this time, the religious leaders were planning to arrest him, but were afraid that the people would riot because Jesus had become very popular. So they decided to wait for the celebration to finish so that they can do what they wanted to do. This celebration that was going on in Jerusalem was to remember, actually they still celebrate it even today, the Passover, to remember what God did for the Israelites when they were still in Egypt. He told them to slaughter lamb and put lamb on the doors of their posts, the doorposts, so that when the spirit of death comes, he will pass over. So they're still, the Jews are still celebrating that celebration today. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. When God sees the blood of believers who worship in spirit and truth, he passes over. And no harm comes to your door. So this week, as we celebrate Jesus as the true Passover lamb, and all that he has done for me and you, we are safe. We are safe in him. His dying on the cross has made us like people that have never broken the law. God made Jesus, who never sinned, to be treated like a sinner on our behalf. And we have been given the right, because we believe, to be called his children. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. He has put his blood on the posts of our souls. He shed his blood for you and me. So what is priority in your life after what Jesus has done for us? What is my priority? I have to ask myself as well. What is priority in my life? Sometimes we get so carried away and we forget what is priority. The things we are doing, it's not that they are not necessary. They are necessary, but priority that he wants is that we worship him. Have you made a decision to make him priority? What do you have that you can use to bless him? So let's worship our God. Let's worship our God. Let's stand before him and forget who we are. Forget all the worries and the anxieties the world has thrown at us and just worship him, because he's a good, good God. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for what you have spoken to us. I pray that, Lord, you come and speak to our hearts and open our spiritual understanding to understand who you are and how you want us to worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.